Hello. How does it sound? Being here at Hope, it's easy to teach. We have such great worship team. All you have to do is open your mouth and just follow the flow of life that comes. Amen? I have a few words for people. Anybody want a word? Scott? Warren, I can't read my writing. But I remember what it is. Proverbs 18:22 says that he who finds a wife finds a good thing and receives favor from the Lord. When he gave you Susan, he gave you a good thing. And Susan, it said in Psalm 84, thanks, Don. No good thing was he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Scott's walk's always been blameless. You're the good thing that went with his blameless walk. In that, he's going to leverage the favor you have because of joining you together in your ministry. You're going to see an increased power and anointing in anything that you speak. It'll be like a wind that goes forth, and it'll just, everything that needs to be shaken will be shaken. It'll just bring life to those. And part of it is, Hebrews 13:15 says, through Jesus, let us continually offer God a sacrifice of praise to those who are called by his name. And one thing is, when you suffered so much, you gave him the sacrifice of praise. And the Lord knew and saw all those times when most people would be in bed, you got up and you prayed and you got up and you did what you could and you served and you volunteered. And he said, just like the Israelites, when they were in captivity, the Egyptians funded their whole time in the desert. The enemy will rue the day he ever messed with you, because whatever the enemy did, it's going to come back a hundredfold in just anointing and people set free. Kyle, 2 Chronicles 31:20-21 says, this is what Hezekiah did throughout Judah, doing what is good and right and faithful before the eyes of the Lord his God, and everything he undertook in the service of God's temple and the obedience to law and commands. He sought his God and worked wholeheartedly, and so he prospered. That's your ministry, is you do everything with such a whole heart that the Lord will bless the work of your hands. There will be no limit to your ministry or your business. It'll only be whatever you limit in your mind. He'll give you more than you can ask or imagine. So expand triple, three times of what you're asking, and he'll give you wisdom or bring people around you to bring up gaps, any gap that you feel that there is in your wisdom. And Amber, I'd said this long before, she's the better half. Listen to her, and even on areas of business there, because there's an anointing in there that he's given her to fill up any gaps that there is in you. So when you guys together, you can't be stopped. Together, there's some deficiencies the enemy can get to, like all of us, but together, you guys can't be stopped. Andy, this is just when I thought about you, and I thought of Andy's frozen custard. And here's, no, it had nothing to do with this. It had this in Andy's. Is just when I thought of you, I saw no matter where Andy's are, there's always people around. There's always a line to Andy's because everyone loves Andy's. And one of the things he called you, Andy, you are an Andy there that people can come to. And you are just there as a, you are inexpensive. He made you a pearl, you're a treasure, and all that. But you, when you give things to people, you give them more value than what it costs them to do it. And he'll always have people there to you lined up that other people won't have, no matter where you are. Because in Andy's, on Campbell and Glenstone, wherever it is, it's always busy, and you can always be busy. Yeah. Ed and Claudia, I saw a Caesar, and I heard the Lord say this, that because of your life there, you guys leverage more in the spirit, more power than you think. You're like Caesar in the spirit in your life. When you pray, when you intercede, there are actually legions at your disposal there. And the Lord said, just when you pray, that you should know that things are happening in the heavenlies, and you have the mind of Christ. I have one more. Christy and Tony, one of the things verse came up is Isaiah 30:15 says, in repentance and rest is your salvation, and in quietness is trust is your strength. And God has put in you a quiet strength. There is a strength. You could pass by it, but the Lord has always marked it. And it is a, when I saw that as a quiet strength, it is a confidence that you don't have to always be talking. There's just a confidence that he put inside of you. But he said, it's like this. When people are quiet and hold their peace like that, it is like a jack in the box. And so it's wound and it's wound and it's wound. And then, but sooner or later, with all that stuff that you've been soaking in, that he's been putting in you, when that thing's ready to pop, it'll come out and it'll come out. And just to be surprising what he has. So, that's it. That's all I have for now. I think, all right, well, I guess we could go. I guess you, I've given a word to, can go. Let me just open us up in prayer. Father, I love you. I just pray these words, you confirm these words with signs and wonders. We thank you that you're the God who's more than enough. You're El Shaddai. We thank you such a good, good Father. And I just pray this, that you said in your word, if you utter worthy words, you'll be my spokesman. And I just pray today I'd just be a conduit to share your words, that just be life that comes just straight from your word through mine to bring life to every the one that touches. I pray this in the name of Jesus. And anyone said? Amen. 23rd Psalm, right in the middle of it, it says, he prepares a table in the presence of his enemies. And he'll prepare for us a table in the presence of our enemies. You know, we as believers were created to eat. And we have such confidence in our Lord that we can eat in the presence of our enemies. If you think about when I think that's part of the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. And when he prepares that table, is there is such a confidence in being a child of God that we can have a picnic when we go through the valley of the shadow of death. And if you think of it, you put on the tablecloth, the red and white checkered, you have your potato salad, you have your chicken, and the enemy is just right there on the other side looking at you. And that is the heritage of believers. No weapon forged against us will prevail. He'll refute every tongue that accuses us. That is our heritage. We as believers need to learn how to eat spiritually. No matter what the circumstances, when the enemy is all around, we need to eat. We have been called to eat. In the end of 1 Corinthians 15, like 40 through 42, right in that passage, it said the natural did not, the spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and then the spiritual. I want to take you to a little story and look at a natural story. Go to 1 Samuel. Chapter 14. Verse 24, 1 Samuel 14, 24. Now the men of Israel were hard-pressed on that day, for Saul had put the people under an oath, saying, cursed be the man who eats food before evening until I have avenged myself on my enemies. So none of the people tasted food. All the people of the land entered the forest, and there was honey on the ground. When the people entered the forest, behold, there was a flow of honey, but no man put his hand to the mouth, for the people feared the oath. But Jonathan had not heard when his father put the people under the oath. Therefore, he put on the end of his staff that was in his hand and dipped it in the honeycomb and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were brightened. Then one of the people said, your father strictly put the people under an oath, saying, cursed be the man who eats food today, and the people were weary. Then Jonathan said, my father has troubled the land. See how my eyes have brightened because I've tasted a little of this honey? How much more if only the people had eaten freely today of the spoil of their enemies, which they had found? For now the slaughter among the Philistines has not been great. They struck among the Philistines that day from Michmash to somewhere else, and the people were very weary. In this story, Saul had put on some, I don't know, there's lots of reasons for it, but Saul put a silly, silly rule that they couldn't eat while they were battling the enemy. And when you're battling the enemy all day, you get kind of hungry, you get kind of weary. And Jonathan hadn't heard about it. Jonathan came up, saw the honey on the ground that the Lord had put there, ate, put it there. His eyes were brightened. They end up winning a victory. One of the things is I just want you to see in the natural is food in the midst of a battle brings the energy we need to finish the battle. If you think of it like just running a marathon, I've never run a marathon, nor will I run a marathon, but I respect those who run marathons. But one of the things I know about marathons, you have to eat the night before, and then they eat sweet food like Gatorade, anything to get calories in during a race. Why? Because you're burning a lot of calories. The same holds true in the spiritual. When we're in a battle, that's not the time to quit eating. We're to eat before the battle, we're to eat during the battle, and then we're to celebrate after the battle with more food. Spiritual and natural. He grabbed honey, his eyes were brightened. Psalm 119, 103 says how sweet is your word to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. If you look at all of the food that the word of God's compared to, in Psalm 19 and Psalm 119 there, it's compared to honey. In Hebrews 5, it is the meat of the word. In 1 Peter 2, it's called milk. In Ephesians 5 and John 15, it's water. The word of God carries every nutrient we need in this life. It's both for long-standing energy, quick energy. You and I can't separate God from his word. I will bow down to your holy temple, for you've exalted above things your name and your word. The name of God, the word of God, and the person of God cannot be separated. When he speaks, it came to pass. Heaven and earth will pass away, my words will never pass away. I, the Lord, do not change. God doesn't change. Jesus Christ, same yesterday to forever. The word does not change. It's same yesterday, today, and forever. All of them will change. It's all the same. When we put our trust in the word, we are putting our trust in the Lord. There's no difference. Oh, yeah. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. Even Lambert's rolls, that is the word of God. Go to Psalm 1. I'm sweating like T.D. Jakes. Without the cool-looking handkerchiefs he carries. Psalm 1. I just want to kind of read this and just kind of part some stuff here. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the, thank you, seat of the scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He'll be like a tree planted firmly by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. Its leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, he prospers. Let me just read. A blessed man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. You and I have a choice. We can allow the world to frame how we live our lives, where we stand, where we sit, where we walk. Or we can allow the word of God. Deuteronomy 6:6-9 says, these words I give you today are to be upon your heart. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. The word of God should be the first thing we think of when we get up and the last thing we think of before we go to bed. It is with us there to accompany us when we walk, when we get up. It is there all the time. It is always there for food, and it is the exact food we need, the exact nutrient we need for whatever the circumstance. It says, blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law he meditates day and night. What does meditate mean? It's chew. It's more than think. It's talk, mutter. The things you and I talk about when nobody's around, when, how many of you talk to yourselves? The thing is, the Lord's saying this, when you and I choose what we talk to ourselves about, when we're just walking around and we're meditating on the word of God, and we're just meditating on, you know, his word saying, you supply all my needs. You supply all my needs. You supply all your needs according to my glorious riches in Christ Jesus. He says, when you do that, that word becomes an anchor for the soul. You're firmly by the waters. Whatever you do prospers. You'll yield your fruit in season. Remember, the word of God is water, also water. So that means whatever God's planted in you, it will yield its fruit in the proper season. Go to Jeremiah chapter 17. Verse 5. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the one who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. For he'll be like a bush in the desert. He'll not see prosperity when it comes, but will live in the stony places in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. For he'll be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by the stream. It will not fear when heat comes. Its leaves will be green. It'll not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. All right, so here, almost identical image he gives of a tree planted by the waters, but he says in this one, it's not the delight is in the law of the Lord. He says this one is your trust is in the Lord. Yours and mine trust in the Lord is shown by what we meditate on just in our daily life whenever we're going through trouble. Think of it like this. Whenever you were dating, you first met your spouse and you thought about them all the time. How did that change your countenance? Well, a lot of you were a lot happier back then, right? No, seriously. If you think on a marriage, when there's marriage trouble, if they were good enough when we were dating and we had a happy face, why all of a sudden are we now grumpy? The thing is, we've changed what we've meditated on. When we were dating, we thought, oh man, they are so good looking. They're so sweet. Man, I like the way Vicky takes care of details. But as my heart turns away from the Lord and I start seeing things from my perspective, her attention to detail becomes annoying because she's picking out faults in me. And as I meditate on that, how I see the situation, how I see my wife change. If I want to change my situation, I must change the meditation of my heart, what I'm thinking about, what I'm saying to myself. You know, how many times have you been angry at your spouse, angry at someone, and you are muttering it? I tell you what, Don. He didn't give me a big enough hug today. He hugged Ed a lot more than me. That jerk, Don. And you get all worked up. Why? You are meditating on what you are meditating, you become. All right, I'm gonna go to Joshua. I'm gonna go to Joshua chapter 1. The Lord, this has been on my heart for going on a year, and I'm gonna share this passage tonight. Is this a safe place? I'm going to share some stuff on this for a few minutes, and then I'm going to be vulnerable and show you how to do this. But it's really got to be a safe place, because I'll show you about meditating on the Word on how it is. Are you guys good with that? Yeah. I mean, I'll just show you what it looks like, at least what the Lord showed me. But I want to look at a great passage here. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. This is God talking here to Joshua. He goes, just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I'll not fail you nor forsake you. Now that's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Those are some pretty big promises. I mean, Moses, you know the thing about Moses? Numbers 12, says out of the whole world, Moses was the most humble guy in the whole world. I mean, he was a friend of God. I mean, Joshua was with him. In the scripture, Exodus 33:11, it said the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend, but Moses would return to the camp. But it said, his young age, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. There is only one way for us to lead like God wants us to lead, and that is to stay in the tent of the Lord and stay in his presence till we can get his heart and know how to lead. There is no leadership apart from the Lord. So here Moses, the number one leader, him and a friend of God, would speak to miracles, signs, and wonders. And the Lord said, hey, Joshua, no one will be able to stand before you. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I won't leave you or forsake you. That's huge promises. Amen? All right, verse 6. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. All right, be strong and courageous. A couple of commands in there, and not much help. How many of you have gone through something or going through something that's really got you pretty anxious at some time, right? Me telling you to be strong and courageous, how many of you know it's not a lot of help when you're just filled with anxiety, right? I mean, as it is, it's a tough command. Be strong, crazy. And the truth is that's a hard word to give someone because I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what Claudia, what Ed's going through. It's easy for me to say, hey, you be strong and courageous without giving a pathway how to get there. Because it's no real help. It's really, it can be a condemnation in that, hey, be strong. Hey, the Word says be strong and courageous. And later on it tells you to be strong and very courageous. Hey, be that. I mean, it really, it sounds good as you read it, but be strong and courageous isn't a lot of help. Be thin. Be smart. No help. It's a cool, hey, listen, it's cool to walk out. Strong, courageous, but when you're not feeling, when you're sitting in the fetal position in the corner, just saying, Lord, help me, Lord, help me. Be strong and courageous isn't a help. It's not a word of encouragement. And, gosh, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. He said, hey, be strong and courageous. Not only that, you're not just responsible for your own destiny. I want you responsible for John and Lowell's destiny. What I put on them, I need you to lead them into that. Once again, not helpful. 7, he doubles down. Only be strong and very courageous. Okay? You know, if I'm having trouble just being strong and courageous, the word very doesn't help me. It only increases it. So then it be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. Hey, great. Success? But at what? All the law? Who obeyed all the law? We only had one. Jesus, right? So, I don't know. I think that's good. It's not helpful. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have success. I'm going to come back to that. Verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Some more promises. Some in there, he's three times, be strong and courageous in there. But we see verse 8 as something we can do. And it's the one thing in the word, he'll give us great promises. He'll even give us he'll give us commands on things to do. And in this, it looks like pretty daunting. Be strong, be courageous, be very courageous. Don't shake, don't be dismayed, or all this. But he gives us one thing in here, and the one thing is the anchor for our soul. It's the one thing that we can all do. And he said, do not let this book of law depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything and written in it. What we meditate on, we can do. And so I look at this is whenever we get a promise to the Lord, look to see at what is the thing that we can do. What is the, because there's a simplicity of obeying the word. Josh had sent something to me today about Mark 16. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. How many know my job is easy? It's just to lay hands on the sick. I'm not responsible for the recovery. I'm just to lay hands on the sick. My job's easy. So in here, he's given us that if you look at this, all of these promises, these great promises, and he tells us how to get there. And if you look at it as a huge door, this is what the Lord showed me. You look at this huge door, and on the other side is us walking into his promise. And what he gave here, just a door that's heavy, that I'll do all according to the law, be strong. I can't lift that. But when you and I do the one thing we can do, in this case, meditating on the word of God, what the Lord does is take that door that's heavy and he puts it on the hinge, which is the meditating on the word. And as I meditate on the word, he moves that heavy door onto a hinge. And no matter how big a door is, if you put it on a big enough hinge and if you continue on, you can open that door and walk in. Meditating on the word of God is the hinge, and it's in Psalm 119. It's in the Joshua 8, and it's in Psalm 1. When we meditate on the word, he will make our way successful and prosperous. Hey, we do a decent job of listening to the word, of even reading the word, sometimes even memorizing the word. We do a decent job on that. One of the things he says, if you will take the word of God and meditate on the word of God, I will make areas in your life that used to be weaknesses, they will become strength. The things that we are now strong in, we are strong because we have meditated on that without knowing it. Hey, I'm good at math. I've said that over and over. I'm good at math. I mean, I've said it to myself. Why? Because I'm good at math. And when you meditate on something long enough and you go, man, I'm good at math, then you're not worried about that. And he says, if you will take the word of God for any situation and you will meditate on that word, I will turn that weakness in your life as strength. I'll take that sin that easily besets you and it'll be cast aside. And I want to show you this. This is the part, I got 4 minutes here. Someone give a situation. Any situation that bothers you. Anyone? Finances. Who said finances? All right, finances is a good one. Let's look at give me a verse, somebody, a passage on finances. Anyone have a verse on finances? Just a passage. Do what? Jehovah Jireh. Where's that? All right, perfect. Matthew 6:33. All right. I don't know if we're recording this, but I'll tell you this. On the wording, on the meditating on the word of God, you're not writing a book that has to be a theologically perfect. What we are is chewing on the word of God. And it's a safe place. There's no bones in the word of God. So we just chew. And we chew. And I'll just kind of show you. All right. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things be given unto you. Father, open up this word. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things be given unto you. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Seek first. Seek first. Hide and seek. Hide and seek. Hide and seek. I find whatever I look for. Hide and seek. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. But if from there you seek the Lord, you'll find him. If you look for him with all your heart, ask and he'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Seek and you will find. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. I will find what I seek. I seek your kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, there are no financial problems. You provide for me in heaven. Heaven is pure wisdom. Jesus is perfect theology. He is the exact representation of his being. When Jesus walked the earth, he came from the Father, entered the world. He's the exact representation of the being of God. He told Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So Jesus never lacked. I never lacked. You supply all of my needs according to glorious riches in Christ Jesus. As I seek first your kingdom up there, and your righteousness. Righteousness is right thinking. I do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of mind. I renew my mind to the word of God. I lack nothing. The lack in finances, some by my own doing, it is only a temporary circumstance. My God is my provider. He is the God that is more than enough. He is El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. He is Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. All the Lord needs is five bread, two fish, fed 5,000 with 12 left over. All I have to do is what I have. It's open to him to give. Seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, his right thinking, and all these things will be given to me as well. I don't need to worry about food, clothes, or any of that. All I worry about is seeking the Lord and doing things how he said to do them. In my work, I work with all my heart as working for the Lord, not men. I do well in all I do. I have the spirit of Joseph on me. I do things in details. I prosper wherever I go. If I'm a housekeeper, I prosper as a housekeeper. If I'm a manager, I lead with great diligence. I am a shepherd. I am a father that God created to me. I provide, God provides through me. I provide not just financially, but I provide emotionally. Seek first his kingdom and all this righteousness and to do. I thank you, Lord, Father, in this, that I seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. I thank you that you add things to me. I don't have to seek things. You just simply add things to me. Because if I fully obey the word of God, your blessings come upon me and overtake me. So, Father, I seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, knowing that your blessings will come upon me. I ask you, forgive me in the past for the things that I've handled money poorly, and I know that there is a new beginning. Old things are gone. I forget the former things. Dwell in the past. I do not dwell in the past, but now I'm going forward. In Jesus' name, amen. That's all I have.